Have you ever looked up into the sky and thought, huh, what is that? Well, that's the universe. And today, the universe is saying, have a good day.
Welcome to another episode of Qualified Nonsense, where the only thing we take seriously is our love for good conversation. Alongside my two lifelong friends, we plunge into the chaotic beauty of exploring the wild corners of Reddit and everything in between. For our new listeners, welcome to the adventure. For the veterans who've braved the journey with us, we thank you for sticking around. You've seen us grow, evolve, and sometimes wonder what on earth we're doing. From our heartfelt musings to the absurd stories, we're here to share it all. Because life's too short to not laugh at the madness. So grab a drink, settle in, and let's dive deep into our next episode. Buckle up, it's going to be one hell of a ride. I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Brandon.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
Welcome back to another show, y'all. Okay, now we have to figure out what that impression was, or that sort of in Matt's intro was in the sort of in the mindset of, right, Matt?
Yeah, I wrote an intro and then I passed it through AI and said, put it in the styling of.
It's like,
is it like Jerry Springer?
I thought it was gonna, I thought it sounded a bit like, I can't put a name to it, but like, almost Star Trek-y, like the intro to
interesting
Star Trek.
It was, I asked it to put it in the style of Anthony Bourdain.
Nice.
So I like, yeah, I obviously don't have his voice, but.
No, I see that. I see that.
I found it to be kind
of. Do you have any of his cookbooks?
Don't have any of the cookbooks. We got the Kitchen Confidential.
I still haven't read that. I really want to.
That's the only book of his I've read. But
I've heard that I've sort of missed out with that one because having worked in New York kitchens, I understand that it's very what is it, accurate, I guess, just a good story of that scene, especially in like the 90s or whatever.
Yeah, it was that's a good book right before he, I mean, that's what got him famous.
Yeah, I have one of his cookbooks that I got from a friend a while ago that I haven't made very much out of it, but I do make his recipe of like buttermilk biscuits, and those always turn out really good.
Nice.
Lots of butter. How was everyone's week?
Jacob?
Good. I signed some papers. I got a new job.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing some new stuff on the 18th. Yeah.
Don't mind me. It's just slightly delayed.
Yeah, no, it's exciting stuff. I'm going to be a part of a small IT group, standing up the IT org in a small 120 person company, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's a step up and to the right. So I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
there we go. Thank you. It's lighter applause, but they like, it's heartfelt, you know?
Absolutely.
What about you guys? What's going on?
Not a lot.
Jesus.
No new jobs.
Well, that's our show, folks. Thanks for...
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, if I did anything super exciting. I did trivia twice this week.
You're wild.
How'd you fare?
Well, the first time I did it by myself and I came in third, and then
that makes it sound like you were sitting on your couch and you did it by yourself and you came in third. But
and then last night I went with some guys from the men's club that I've been hanging out with, and
wait, the men's club or the new Munch club you've been hanging out with?
No, not to be confused with the Munch Club, the Eugene Men's Social Club. And we came in first, or we were tied for first, and then we lost the tiebreaker, so we came in second.
Oh.
Thought you were going to say there was a tie for first, so we slit their throats and killed them all.
Jesus.
Yes! We win!
How many people are in the men's social club?
There's a Discord, and there's like 800 people in there, but it's like...
Oh, wow.
Maybe like active people, like 30, maybe?
Do you guys both actively use Discord?
I do.
I've been using it more for this, but I don't use it for like work or anything like that.
So I have a Discord.
I feel like such an old man. I don't understand it. I'm just gonna be that old man at this point. It's like, bah! Like there's, I have nothing else to add to it other than I just don't understand it.
It's a social tool. So it's not a social network, but it's like a socializing tool. So I belong to a couple of Discords. That one's for a live play podcast that I've been following for a while. Actually, a couple are for live play podcasts, and it's people that can like BS about, like, basically you can stand up a server and create channels that are like subject oriented. And people can just bullshit in them. And a lot of younger people.
So similar to Reddit?
Similar to Reddit, but you can have sort of like live conversations as opposed to sort of like posted.
Oh, like post.
It's like, mm-hmm. Have you guys used Slack for work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like that, but there's like a little bit more of a media element to it. And it's for... It's like servers can be like, you can join all different kinds of servers. A lot of people use it for gaming, like board gaming and video gaming, just as a way to, in fact, we toyed with the idea of recording this via, or rather meeting for the podcast via Discord, because that's available to us.
It is nice. 'Cause like Matt, you could like for your company, you could have, you know, just the like evergreen payment, and then like have separate channels. Like you could have, you know, accounts payable, or, you know, by subject or events,
right?
Or, you know,
we do use something similar to that, and I guess it sounds like it's not too different. It's called GroupMe,
but yeah,
I guess I get it. You know, I just feel like a really old man up, because like I know people used it for gaming, and I wasn't sure how its application was supposed to be used.
Yeah, it can just be used as a medium to meet or hang out but just socialize, I guess. I just opened mine because I didn't have it open previously, but I realized I spun ours down. So the season one, we had a Discord that we didn't really get into, and so I shut down the server. But listeners, if you're interested in us having a Discord, you know,
light us up.
Let us know, because we can spin one up. Putting up a server is pretty easy, and then you can get instant access to us. But it's, yeah, I mean, again, it's a place that you can, like, if we had a questions board, people could post questions there, or if we wanted to talk about a specific episode, it would be like episode discussions. That's what a lot of podcasts that I've seen utilize its services for. It's cool.
Like on the Eugene Men's Social Club one, it seems like people kind of like find their channel that they're interested in and sort of then just do their chats in there. Like there's a general one, and then like one for introductions and one for events. And then there's like one for food and drink, podcasts, music, makers and crafts, cars, home improvement. There's one for guns, Lego, Star Wars, you know, that kind of, you know, gaming stuff like that,
pegging, you know.
Yeah, this has made me, especially the pegging part, sparked my interest. I'm gonna probably try to stand up a server for us again, and that way we can have our own, and we can see if people are interested in sliding into those DMs or channels or what have you.
Yeah, join our server. Well, my week was cool. My kids had cheerleading camp this week, and I was in the gym with them Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for a lot of time hearing a lot of little girls scream for 2.5 hours at a time.
But is it like a gymnastics gym?
No, it was cheerleaders. It was cheerleading. It was okay. Put on by the school district, and the girls, like all the kids in grade school, get to do a dance at halftime at the JV and the varsity basketball game. Nice. So they practice for 2 days, and then on the third day they go and do it. And I don't know, it was very cool and like very nostalgia for me to be like in a high school gym and seeing all the kids in the stands, like ooh, do, 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 like just doing all the stupid shit that high school kids did. I was like, man, I loved doing this. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see them perform and stuff.
But, yeah. Nice.
Do they like it?
Yeah, they've done it. They've done it a couple of times before. Once at one of the football games, which is also pretty cool. You know, like the Friday night lights kind of thing. And then seeing all the big cheerleaders at the high school football games. But yeah, they've done it a few other times.
What other extracurricular stuff do your kids do? Because I feel like, aren't they taking music lessons of some sort?
They are. Yeah, they both do music. Margo is going to get signed up for track. Registration just opened.
Cool.
Outside of that, we got swimming on swimming now.
Nice.
On the weekends.
Are they good swimmers? No, not so much.
No, they are. Tying up a Saturday for swim lessons, you know,
another thing,
another
to do.
Thing to do on another day that you don't want to do anything at all. Yeah.
Like, can you give me an honest answer? Is that stuff a hassle? Like having, especially with two kids and activities, or is it like boring?
Absolutely. I can answer. I'm his lawyer on behalf of Matthew Ellis. Yes, it's a hassle. Please don't hassle my client.
I'm just wondering, like, because as an outsider, that seems like it would be really boring. But then, like, I wonder if it changes if it's, you know, your child participating. So you have
for me, I like it. This is honestly one of the busiest times during the school year we've actually been. And I don't know. I actually kind of enjoyed the back and forth. I didn't enjoy the whole like, you have 15 minutes between school and this thing. Here's a microwave, something to eat.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they get to go see their friends and whatever. And I actually got to connect with one of the other dads that I kind of knew. And it was kind of fun to just sit in the stands and kind of BS with somebody. So I don't know. I kind of enjoy it. I know it's at some point is going to be like another thing, but right now it's kind of nice.
I
was just going to say, from my perspective also, like the things that, especially things like swimming, where there's like an obvious outcome and benefit of having like the skill of swimming, when the kids get better at it, that's very satisfying. So it's well worth the sort of bore and the hassle of like getting everybody loaded up and getting everybody there on time and, you know, having to go between school and that and like rushing, or like getting up early on Saturday being like, oh, I guess we're going to swim, like I guess we're going to a sort of like a warm muggy swimming pool to get the kids lessons. So but when the result is that they are better at something, especially something that's as worthwhile as swimming or even like music, stuff like that, that's, there's a level of satisfaction that sort of makes up for it when it's your kid, as opposed to it being just boring.
Jake, you've coached, right? Soccer or
yeah. Mm-hmm. I was an assistant.
Matt,
coach.
Have you ever thought about coaching anything that your daughters do?
Yeah, so it sounds like they do need volunteer track coaches, and that's the one sport that I think I can do because I did run in school. But I don't know if I want to be the coach of my daughter's stuff. Cause I was like my dad was the coach of me, and it was sometimes contentious.
Yeah.
So I'm debating on if it's one of those, is it worth it to jump in it as well?
I don't know if I have a good temperament for it for that young of kids. I think maybe later, but like for me, even at 9, Oscar's team was like half of them were there just to dick around and have a fun time, you know, like with their friends. It wasn't so much about playing soccer. And I'm not good at soccer, but I enjoy watching it, and so I have like a level of expectation of like getting an actual practice in, and I found myself being like, oh, I'm sorry, did not everybody hear me? I guess we're doing a lap. I guess we're gonna do just running,
just, you know, laying them.
Yeah, and like half the kids thought it was hilarious, and some of the kids were like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And like, I could tell a couple of the other coaches are like, okay, I guess we're gonna do this. And so I had to like,
sorry, I didn't hear that. Yes, coach. Yeah, go exactly. Lines.
No, I wasn't quite that. I wasn't quite so horrendous as that, but I did recognize in myself that I was a little too like, we're here to practice. Like, because I don't know. I think you can still have fun while learning stuff, but some of the kids were just like,
what's wrong? You need your little Capri Sun and your orange slices. Get out there and run.
Get out there. Drop down and give me 20.
Oh, you want your mommy?
Tough shit.
Tough shit.
I'll tell your mom you never showed up to practice. Never seen him before in my life.
Yeah, exactly. I'm also terrible with names. So I was like, you, what's your name? Like number of weeks into practices. I'd be like, you
Asian kid. Tell me your name. No, the other one.
No, not like, not quite that bad. But, so I don't know if coaching is in my cards, but I enjoyed it. And I think like half the kids enjoyed when I was coaching. And luckily Oscar was among the people enjoying, cause I bring that kind of energy, in mostly a joking way in my family. So Oscar's like, he's kind of tickled by it. He's like, that's my dad.
Oh, you think I'm serious? You think I'm joking around?
Is this a game to you? You know what I love lately? Both my kids, especially when my 5-year-old gets into it, it's pretty funny, but they like try to sling it back. They're like, you know, they look at me, they lock eyes with me, and they're like, oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm like, oh, are we doing this right now? Is this what we're doing? And it's pretty fun. But they,
Margo had one not too long ago. I completely forget the circumstance that we were in, but she was one of those like, yeah, well, because you think you could too once, right? Will you? Yeah, you know. I was just like, make what? Fucking sense. Get out of here. Go to your room.
Go to your room.
Go outside, nerd.
Well, good weeks all around.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll take a little break and we'll be right back.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials. We have decided to switch things up slightly from our previous format. So before Matt, Jake, and I would grab questions from Reddit, and then we would each present them to the group and then answer them. And so we decided to make it a little bit more. We decided to make it a little more spontaneous and just grab like the top, however many questions on.
Just spicing up the podcast, keeping it spontaneous.
Got to keep things spicy after 70 or 80 episodes or whatever we're on. So we're just gonna grab like the top questions and ask Reddit or from around Reddit and then throw them into a randomizer and then we'll just answer them in order. So you know, it could get heavy, it could be light, we'll see how it goes. So
but just as a interjection, if any listeners submit questions by chance, you'll fly right to the top. So drop in those questions qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or our subreddit r/qualifiednonsense, and
Is that it?
Oh, soon our Discord and also our OnlyFans.
All right. So here's the list of questions. We don't have to do this on every episode, but I just figured I would. So I'll just put them in this randomizer here. Hit randomize. And there we've got...
Sweet.
All right. We've got our questions here. So
listeners, you can't see this, but this is the first
one might get kind of dark. I just got a little peeksy poo.
What's it like when you die? I mean, I guess I could keep the screen. I could keep sharing it so we can see.
I like the spontaneity of not seeing it or reading it. Okay. Just say it.
Okay. I guess then maybe I share the screen. Okay. So first question randomly served up is, okay, so this comes from Ask Reddit. The question is from the user Anushka M. Alice. They ask, what is something that you fantasize about regularly but would be awful if it actually happened? So we're going to start it off, you know, kick things off in a lighter mood and...
assassinations. No, I don't know.
Oh, you know what? We all know that I like my various mechanical sort of trinkets around, and there was a period of time where I thought it would be fun to be like a streamer, like a gamer, like game and stream and stuff like that, and do the whole Twitch YouTube thing. And while sometimes I still fantasize about it, I think it would be like rough. You'd be like sitting in front of a screen all day. You have to sort of like pander to an audience on the constant, I guess. And then also you'd have to like work on ad deals, and you'd have to like really watch what you say, and then like run the risk of like losing ad revenue if you say the wrong thing about the wrong company, that sort of thing. So like I've thought a couple of times with like some of the hardware that I already have, I'm like, ooh, maybe if I only need to scale up just a little bit, and then I could start, you know, posting on or like streaming on a specific schedule, and maybe I could get, you know, a bunch of followers. I don't know. It's like that.
But Jake's long-winded way of saying, I wish I was on OnlyFans. Like, I fantasize about being on OnlyFans, but
no. Listen, it would time be out. Awful if I could make it on OnlyFans, I'd be there.
Well, but and you have to do like a like stream of consciousness talking all the time, and
right.
That's why they all like switched over to like, what was that?
Like I have too much of a filter on myself to be able to do that, to just speak, you know, extemporaneously and just, you know, constantly. I guess if you're doing something, if you're playing a game, you can talk about that. You can be like, oh, look at that guy. Oh, here comes another one. Oh, you know, and
right.
When we were streaming kind of live on TikTok, I was trying to do that, and it was exhausting. Of like, hi.
You
know, like, yeah, no, where are you from?
You're right. Oh, and then there's the whole element of if you do have people, especially if you're a small time streamer, if you have people that come into chat and like try to chat you up, one of the things that you do is like chat them up also. So it can't be like you'd be like playing a game, you're like concerned about like framing and making sure you're serving ads at the right time, and like you're also like chit chatting with like whoever's sliding into your DMs, being like, oh, hey, thanks for coming to watch, and it's all fine, like it's cool, but I think perhaps my point is that I think it takes a lot more work than it might seem, and I would be doing that on top of my like normal job, right? I wouldn't be replacing my real job with that. What about you guys?
I think I would say getting like super famous. Like, sure. Let's see. Example.
That's actually the top example on here.
Like Taylor Swift esque, or you know, Coldplay or whatever. just like you have no autonomy over yourself at that point. Like everybody knows who you are. You can't go anywhere.
I feel like other than Chris Martin, like any members of Coldplay could probably walk down the street and be fine.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. And good for them. Be like, this is best. You
know? Like I don't know what any of them look like, so but
I feel like I see more and more of those clips like on social media of people being like, oh, it's like I have no idea who the fuck that is. Is that some pop star kid?
Seems like it would be really lonely to be super famous to where you're just isolated to your home or hotel rooms or your only
interactions are like business with your manager that's probably always around.
Yeah, your entourage or like your very close circle of people.
That still probably only hang around because they want something from you. Like,
Yeah, I feel like there are a few individuals that do it right. I'm trying to think of some celebrities that are deal with paparazzi and that sort of thing.
Just when we were in Mexico, right? We were there with Michael Vick, who everybody knew, and then Nick Kroll, who didn't feel like hardly anybody knew, but he's super famous. I would call him relatively famous. Yeah,
I would call him super famous.
Yeah. But he's also a voice actor, so nobody knows who you are, kind of, you know? He's not just a voice actor, but a significant amount of what he's known for.
He's done a lot,
is voice. So it's like, you can still be famous and then still have some anonymity.
Yeah, that's true.
What about you, Brandon? Any fantasies?
I mean, there are ones like, winning the lottery, but I don't really see, like, I don't think it'd be awful for that to happen. I think there would certainly be downfalls or, like, downsides, rather.
Yeah.
That you might not see, but I think, like thinking about, like, how you would react in a... like a disaster situation, or even like even more fantastical than that, like a zombie apocalypse. Like, you know, you sometimes like I'll fantasize like, okay, well, here's what I would do. I would, you know, barricade the windows, and I would blah blah blah, and I would like, you know, make sure I have plenty of fuel, and you know, all the other stuff, and like I would make sure I have bladed weapons as well as bullets, you know, but you know, you can kind of go through this like hero fantasy in your mind, but it would be awful.
I would also say like the doomsdayer people that like I see a bunch of, I don't know why my algorithm's kind of gone this way, but people that have created like bomb shelters and stuff that are in the US and around the world, and I just find the builds fascinating, I guess, and it's one of those like, man, if only you had that and like the nuclear war happened that's probably inevitable at some point, you'd be set. So you fantasize about being set during nuclear war. Kind of sucks.
I remember friends in New York. We talked about that in New York because it was so densely populated, how quickly you would be fucked and how not only was it densely populated, but it's such a popular city. Like if there's going to be a nuclear attack, that would be one of the places that's going to be hit. And so that was like, or in the case of a zombie apocalypse, like people, I feel like a lot of times sat around in a pub or something and were like, oh, well, what would you do? And it was sort of fun, but you're right. It would be horrendous. Like the likelihood of surviving is so wildly low. And then even if you did survive, like it would be an awful, awful, awful existence. So I had a bunch of people who were like, oh, fuck it. Like, take me now. I'd walk outside and get bit. Cause like,
that is kind of how I feel like realistically, I think I would rather probably be dead than have to survive in some sort of
dystopia.
I guess that's hard.
I'm glad you brought that up though, because even saying this, when you just said, I'd rather be dead than going through, my brain immediately was like, I'd try to survive and I bet I could probably get bladed weapons about, and also bullets. You know.
Yeah, well, one thing, like, I feel like I'm too domesticated at this point, and like yeah. I don't.
I'm just a little kitty cat. I can't.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's kind of how I feel. Like I
yeah, like
you get rid of all of your creature comforts and like easy access to food and water and things like that, and then
yeah. Oh, so I just finished watching the show Primeval America, and that it was the show I talked about a while ago. It was like Mormons, Indians, and the whites, and there's just like zero hope. But like that entire show is so cold, like it's muddy forts that they're staying at, or they're always on the run and have very little fire and like these period piece clothes. And I was just like, every time I went to bed, I was like, after watching yeah. it, you know, at night, I was like, oh, this bed is kind of uncomfy. You know, I was like,
there have been a lot of doomsday rhetoric around the current political crisis, which not crisis, the current political landscape, I should say. And in the United States, and you're right. We do have sort of like a matchstick life that we've all built, and like COVID was a really good example of that, right? Like it took almost, you know, COVID could have been way, 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 way worse, and we, as a society, did not weather that well, you know, like,
and it, yeah, but and it's super like, and fun like, during that time.
But the 10,000 foot view of that was like, really, it wasn't all that bad. Like, it could have been, you know, like horribly worse. So it just sort of, yeah, it just sort of sheds a light on how domesticated we all are, and it would be tough to sort of make it out of that.
I wonder if I could take my neighbors out. If I needed to, I think I could do it.
You guys, like, don't you have a neighbor that listens?
Huh?
Don't you have a neighbor that listens?
Oh, he's a patron too.
Watch back. Not you, of course. We'd team up.
No, our houses are right next. It would have a friendship tunnel.
Friendship tunnel. Like the survival thing that on one of Patton Oswalt's older albums, he has a bit about like people wanting natural home births. And he's like, he has a lot of friends who are like, oh, I'm going to have my baby at home naturally without any drugs or anything. Just like the pioneers and the settlers did it. And he's like, you know what the pioneers and the settlers were dreaming about when they were having a baby out on the prairie? Hospitals. Like,
yeah.
Clean white rooms with clean sheets and doctors with needles full of magical liquid to make pain go away.
Yeah. I have a colleague at work who, when his wife was giving birth, they were in the delivery, you know, ward, and she's like, the anesthesiologist came in and was like, all right, well, we can get you situated and you won't feel anything. She's like, I don't think I want that. I want to, you know, I've read that blah blah blah, it's better for, and the anesthesiologist was like, okay, that's fine, do you like feeling pain? And she's like, no. And he goes, okay, well, I mean, here's the thing, like, I can make all that go away, like, I can make you just not feel it, but if you want to feel pain, go for it. I wouldn't recommend it, but if you want to do that, fine. And she's like, okay, I'll get it. She was like, best decision of my life, because it started hurting immediately and then it went away. So yeah,
I don't know, I can't really think of, I'm which looking at the be, other answers, like,
which would be harder to survive in your opinion, a nuclear fallout or a zombie apocalypse? I guess, which one would you, which one do you feel you would be best suited for?
Is this like the entire world is destroyed by nukes, or is it just yeah. one area?
Yeah. No, the
meaning
the
you
world.
Couldn't travel to like a safer area.
Or I there might be some that you just don't know about.
So I saw that some recent interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking about modern nuclear bombs do not have the radiation fallout that sort of hydrogen bombs had, or like what happened in Japan, or what happened in like Chernobyl, like that sort of nuclear fallout that occurred, that you couldn't like go into an area. Modern bombs don't have that radiation problem, basically. They still do a tremendous amount of damage. They just don't leave a bunch of radioactive residue.
So you can get back to rebuilding right away.
Right. Right. So in that case, I think probably living through a nuclear nuclear fallout would be better. Easy, I don't know about easier, but better, because I think I think statistically, like the rate of infection for all models of zombie apocalypses, like it's exponential, you know, like one person bites two people bite four. Mm-hmm. And it just climbs so fast. I don't think there's a realistic outcome where anybody lives.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's
downer.
For me, it's a slow burn on either side, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah,
no, it fucking sucks on both sides. So,
I mean, I guess one is at least something that like you can kind of grapple with, like with the
Also, the zombie side sounds like hurts,
but
true.
Like they disembowel you and shit. I don't know. That sounds like I don't want to. I would just rather.
Although I'm trying to think, like,
radiate to die.
Like, what are we at? 8 billion people? You're on a continent, so there's like fewer than that. I feel like you could probably muscle through it.
Like, if you like went up to the Yukon or something, and then you could kind of just wait it out until the zombies died off or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know. But
it's something to fantasize about, but would totally blow if it actually happened.
Some other answers were the ability to read minds. It would be interesting, but then horrifying.
Yeah.
You could probably lock up a lot more bad people and would have less innocent. That'd be a great job to have.
That's a
Minority
movie.
Report.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Minority Reports. They didn't read. Oh, I guess they did preemptively see the, but they found it was flawed.
Yeah.
No, but then you're arresting people for thoughts.
Crimes they didn't commit.
Right. Not equilibrium.
Is that
Simpsons 1984?
Yeah, it's 1984. Christian Bale was in an action-packed movie that was 1984.
Oh, Equilibrium.
Was it called Equilibrium? Okay.
Well, that one, they weren't allowed to have emotions.
Oh, that's right. I remember
they
that.
They had like emotional suppressants.
Oh, that was it. Enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, but that was about like people being like thinking, like policing people's thoughts.
I have to go back and watch. All right. I think it would be fun.
Oh, go ahead.
I think this person's answer is calling one of my students a little shit. they fantasize about, but would be a bad idea. That's kind of funny.
Well, I hope his username isn't like just his name.
Yeah.
A threesome. I love the idea of it, but it'd probably last around 30 seconds because of the excitement.
And also, like,
it'd just be a disappointment. I drove an hour to get here.
So with threesomes, unless you're in a sort of polyamorous relationship, I feel like that's just a recipe for really bad times. Like unless you're in like an agreed upon habitual polyamorous relationship. But if you're like an exclusive couple and then you're like, oh, fuck it, let's do a threesome. After that threesome, it'd be like both partners would be like, or both
yeah.
sides of the partnership would be like, why did you moan like that? Or like, what the fuck was that?
But or also, like, if you just bring it up willy-nilly like that, how would you do that? Maybe
asking for a friend.
Well, on that note,
fantasize about asking about a threesome.
where will my knight in shining armor come from?
I don't know how I feel about the next question.
Nice. Send it. Full send.
Here's one. The next one down.
Do you ever kill a guy?
The FBI is now our new DC listener.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not snitching on anybody.
Well, look at that. We've got a new listener in Langley.
Oh, yeah, we're really popular there. This question is on Ask Reddit. Comes from Mint Chocolate Ooh Woo One.
God, I just took a drink of tea that went up my nose. Yeah.
Good one.
And they ask, what's the best anime you've ever seen?
Oh.
This is I prefer the last question.
Can we go back to confessing our sins? This is kind of interesting because I'll put it out there. I have like a
careful, like what a you weird... say. Careful what you say.
What?
Too careful what you say. I'm not saying I hate them, but
no, I have like a mental block on anime. Like I don't like the style of it doesn't appeal to me, and okay. I'm sure there's some out there that I probably would enjoy, but I just visually I have an aversion to it.
Does that include things from Studio Ghibli? Like Howl's Moving Castle, that sort of nostalgic.
I haven't really like tried to immerse myself in it or, you know.
So it's two things for me and they're going to both be. One is I don't like the animation. I know that's like its whole, that's like 90% of what it is. And I was like, I don't like that. And then the people that tend to enjoy anime, I find that I usually have zero in common with. So it's never really struck my interest.
Like weebs, like white guys who like, you know, they want like a waifu and they have like a...
So I think so,
don't know what any of that is you said, but yeah, probably.
I think that is a particular subsect of people who like the sort of white guys who want waifu sort of wifeys. I
don't even know what this is. A waifu?
It's like the body pillows of like the
basically an anime.
Oh, you mean like this? Oh, like
oh, you mean like Sheila?
Come on over, introduce yourself.
No, I think I really enjoy anime, and I haven't watched very much of it, but I'm trying to think of some. A series that I really enjoyed was Attack on Titan. It was on Netflix for a long time. I don't know if it still is. And I didn't actually finish the series, but it's really interesting. It's sort of like a dystopian past, kind of, with like. Well, describing it is not going to help, but it's like giants that like
another thing I feel like of. Is that it's intimidating to approach because of like there's so much like there's animes that have been going on for, you know, 30 plus years. And
right.
So it's hard to.
Yeah. Who's that guy? Like the 25th year in.
Right.
Yeah. Like, It's like
they're like,
oh,
they're
have
like
you heard about the show The Simpsons? You should start watching it. There's 700 episodes.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of like, there's a lot of strong. That's the other thing I'll say. There is that element of not really knowing where to break in because
where you
start. Yeah, there's just so much and there's so much passion around it.
I will say one of the additional challenges is that I, for not liking it as much as I do, Margot has found that she's very good at the kawaii drawings. So it's like the cartoony animals with the really big eyes.
Oh, that's fun.
But she's really good at drawing them. And I was like, oh yeah, where's that from? You know, just like,
yeah.
Can't I just go draw a unicorn or something?
So, I would say, Studio Ghibli stuff is really enjoyable.
Who are they? What have they done?
They did Princess Mononoke,
Miyazaki stuff.
Yeah.
I have, okay. I know and the names, I haven't seen any of them.
I would recommend seeing them. I think one of the things that, is really enjoyable is that they can do things in, that medium that you can't reproduce in film. So like you can play with physics in a way that you can't do without a huge, huge budget. Again, like I don't watch a ton, but I do have an appreciation for the art form. I don't love there's like a lot of static images, like where people like walking where everything sort of looks the same. And there's like a lot of overture or like talking that doesn't have like mouth movements, that sort of thing. That sort of bothers me from an animation standpoint. But what I did learn is that it's because people historically were drawing all of these images, you would have shows that have basically like drawing limits, or like there was a drawing budget. So like an episode that's, let's say you're watching an action series, an episode that has a lot of exciting action scenes, the rest of the episode is pretty low in the art department because they had to spend all of their money drawing the action scenes. So like the high frame rate action scenes. And then, so the rest of the episode had to be more of like wide shots or like slow, like not much was changing on the screen. And I do like that element because you can see that actual artists were sort of painstakingly budgeting their time and budgeting how much they were drawing. So that's pretty cool. But I would definitely check out all of Studio Ghibli's films. And then I'm trying to think if there's another show or movie. But I really enjoyed Attack on Titan. That had a lot of really interesting storytelling techniques. And
some of the top comment is Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah.
Hunter X Hunter, Attack on Titan, Your Name, Code Geass, GEASS, Mob Psycho 100, Dragon Ball Z.
Cowboy Bebop is supposed to be really good too. I never see it. I have never seen it.
Death Note. I've heard of that.
Death Note is supposed to be good.
Is that a Liam Neeson movie?
That sounds like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have a hard time getting past the style of it. And
what do you guys think of non-anime animation? Like clay animation, or just like
non-2D.
Like not Pixar, because I feel like that's so well budgeted. It's like watching a movie. It's just like the textures are different. But like other sort of
like oh, what's the guy's name? Like Will Vinton, like that kind of.
Who's Will Vinton? I'm not sure.
Or is, what am I thinking of?
Well, I ask because Anna is not a. She doesn't really care for animation. She sort of checks out. She's not as interested in it, even if the story is compelling. However, most recently we watched Arcane on Netflix, and she was really invested in that, as well as myself, because it was some really interesting and good storytelling. So I recommend that. It's not anime, but it sort of scratches that itch.
I really did enjoy stop motion when like the original Wallace and Gromit's came out.
Yeah,
those like that's important. Kind of where I feel like those. I mean, those are really when we were
there's
kids.
There's a new one out now.
Yeah, my girls happen to love it as well. But I do feel like there was a period of time where they were kind of like pushing it really hard, and it kind of turned me off to it with Laika Studios and all the other stuff that was going on. It just felt like there was a period of time where every movie had to have some form of like stop animation in it. And it kind of like, it's kind of when you play a song too many times and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Will Vinton is the guy who had the, I think they invented the term claymation, but I was thinking of Bill Plimpton. That's who I was thinking of. I kind of like his stuff. It's like weird and kind of surreal. Like if you look it up, you might recognize it, but it's sort of like pencil-y looking, like
I see this.
Usually does shorts.
I'm not sure what you would call this style, but there's a Instagram profile that I follow called Wheelie Yellow, and it's a little crochet piece, but and he has googly eyes and they just superimpose the mouth on him. If you look him up, it's it'll make more sense. But he rides around in like this remote control post mail car. Nice. And then he has like these little interviews where he'll come out, and again, the only thing that moves is his mouth is like superimposed. I don't even know what kind of, it's like digital puppet kind of. I don't know what you would even call it, but I like that form of animation. Yeah.
What about, do you guys remember ever seeing the Rejected by Don Hertzfeldt? The My Spoon's Too Big guy.
Oh, yeah.
Too big.
Yeah. I'm a banana. That was always a big, always a big fan of that animation. I actually saw him in New York. I saw him speak at an animation festival, and he had some really interesting things to say about the form. But and actually he also talked about budgeting time for more like more impactful scenes, spending more time on them on the art side, and the stuff that's sort of, for lack of a better term, filler, like being able to use fewer frames to convey the same message if you're going to be spending a lot more later for a more impactful scene.
I will say, speaking of animation, something that does seem that is off-putting and ugly to me, that feels cheap, is a lot of modern adult animated shows, TV shows. Like they all almost like stylistically, they almost all look like Family Guy or like character design looks like everything looks kind of similar to that.
So yeah. I don't keep up with it, but didn't the creators of Family Guy do a bunch of small shows? And I thought that was the reason for that, because it was all the same studio. But are there more?
But then there's even like, I would even say Big Mouth kind of looks like that similar, and that's from a completely different.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. But I don't know, like Rick and Morty and.
We've talked about Rick and Morty on this show before.
There's a bunch of like, even like to an extent, like Bob's Burgers or.
Yeah.
There's a ones out now, like what's it called? Universal Basic Guys or Crepopolis, or there's several newer ones that aren't associated with like Seth MacFarlane and Family Guy and all that. But
yeah, Archer. I thought Archer was pretty unique. Like the drawing, the art was. I mean, I also really enjoyed those shows because they were.
I felt like Archer was funny. Smarter too.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about Bob's Burgers. I've never watched it, but my brother has always spoken highly of it.
Margo has a friend that's like her favorite show, and we watched. I can't remember anything about the first couple episodes, but I remember there being some like very overtly sexual things in there, and I was just like, nope, and I was like. I felt like the dad of like, your kid likes this show? You let your kid watch this?
You let your kids watch this?
I mean, I like it. I think it's funny. I just don't like the animation. which That's maybe fair. If I can get over that, I can get over anime and maybe find something that I like. So, listener, if you have any suggestions.
I think we'll have to find a... We'll have to find a... like a really compelling story.
It's also possibly the subject matter that I don't really care for also. Like,
to me, they also feel like musicals. Like, everything has to be big and like, gah! You know? And it's like, it's just very exhausting to me.
I've found that I've really enjoyed the sort of the hilarity of, what's that show? I haven't seen it, but I've seen a bunch of clips of it. It looks really hokey. It's called One Punch Man. Have you seen, it's like a bald super, it's like in this sort of universe of like a bunch of people that are superheroes that are competing to be like better superheroes. They get like classed and stuff anyway, but it's all like, I've at first I thought it was super hokey and now I'm just sort of tickled by it. But like when people go to like punch each other, they like announce what they're doing. They're like, oh, I'm doing my super, super strong chop attack. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But now I just think it's pretty funny.
It's like people that LARP.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Lightning bolt. I should say hentai is excluded from my...
right. That goes without saying.
What is that? This anime talk is very strange.
Ooh, mint chocolate. Ooh,
that's right.
No, I mean, I guess this is a separate conversation, but like a lot of anime is derived from manga or manga.
Thank you for saying it correctly. Manga.
And have you read any manga?
What is it?
Isn't it just like comic books? But
yeah, like yeah. Japanese comic books.
Sounds dirty.
Yeah. I don't think I've read any manga, but I do think that I. Did you guys read the Scott Pilgrim series? It was like six animated.
Or not the movie. Like
yeah, the books are really good. They're enjoyable. We have them. And at first I was like, oh, Oscar will really enjoy these. And we started reading them and I was like, well, we have to wait a few years for this.
No.
Because there's a bunch of sexual innuendo and whatever. But they're really good. But they are about a Canadian kid who is he has like he might be Japanese or like his friends are Japanese, but anyway, it sort of makes fun of the genre or like plays into the genre of manga. So it sort of, there's like a bunch of nods to that, that sort of artistic storytelling, but I would recommend those because they're fun and they're like easy reads and it's a gateway drug to manga or anime.
or
there is one that I did read. Oh, you're trying to wrap up? Okay, never mind.
No.
He said.
He said, I said it was a gateway to manga or anime, and he goes, or.
Yeah, well, there is one that I did read that it was an adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft's book, At the Mountains of Madness.
Oh.
And the artwork was really cool on it, but. It was still, so I guess, a Western story, but in a Japanese style.
Oh, you, Brandon, you like Batman?
I do.
Did you see the Batman that was set in like the time traveled back into like samurai Japan, like 17th century or 16th century?
I did Japan? Not. I mean, I've heard of it, but I haven't.
Is this a movie or animated?
A movie, an animated movie, but it looked pretty cool.
Isn't it based on a comic?
It might be. I only remember seeing the trailer and thinking it looked neat, but
How did that go? It seems like Batman would get his ass kicked by ninjas.
Well,
he was trained by ninjas.
I know, so they should be better than he is.
That's a good point. Not wrong. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how it went.
Anyway, do you got the deets of this? Why did Batman go to Japan?
Honestly, I don't know. He like, I think there was some sort of time traveling element to it. And then he was like, I mean, I will say that Joker and him in that genre looked really cool. But that's letting my sort of like, nerd flag fly. I'm like, ooh, how cool. Mashing of genres. Yeah.
Pretty soon Jake's going to be having a waifu.
Anna, move over. There's a new
waifu in town.
Waifu in town.
Oh boy.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to stop.
Yep. Put it to bed. No pun intended.
Get in bed, waifu.
Already there. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Please support the show over at Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. Watch us over at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. And after you've done all that, please rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. And we'll see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.